Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Let's talk some more college football. It's never a bad topic for us. We love it. And we were talking briefly about Oregon-Washington week. Kyle Bonagura is our guest. He's double-dipping on the radio station today. He was on with Dusty and Cam this morning, and now he's on with us, and he's on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN. Kyle, thanks for hopping on yet again on 1080 The Fan, man. We appreciate the time. I'll start with the Oregon-Washington game, just on the feel of who you think ultimately is going to come out victorious between these two teams, because they feel very evenly matched.
Yeah, I mean, just off the top, I mean, I think I would lean Oregon. I think that they've been the more complete team this year. I think, obviously, what they've done defensively has been so special, and the Washington certainly has shown that it has quite a few flaws. I don't think this is quite the talent level that we've been accustomed to seeing up in Seattle the last few years. So, you know, that doesn't mean this won't be a competitive game. I think it will, but I would certainly feel pretty good about Oregon doing.
You know, looking at the Pac-12 too, we've had this conversation really probably since Oregon lost to Auburn, and then when Utah went on the road and lost to USC. We've continued to wonder, is the conference eliminated just from the conversation in general around the college football playoff? And I know Utah plays Washington, I want to say, in 2 or 3 weeks, so they got that game coming up. They got a tough one against ASU, and then, of course, the Oregon-Washington game. How close are, if they win in the next couple of weeks, Oregon and Utah from being back into some semblance of the college football playoff conversation?
Yeah, so I kind of have a different stance on that than what the kind of the national conversation, how it usually goes in regards to the Pac-12. Like, I just don't think you're out of it with one loss regardless of the season. I think there's no reason to discount a team with one loss this early in the year. It just never makes sense. I mean, there's still so much that can happen other places in the country. I know, obviously, the margin for error is pretty much zero, but at the same time, you know, Oregon and Utah are certainly both capable of winning out. Like, they have the talent, they have the coaching staff to do that. So if you finish as a one-loss champion from a Power 5 conference, you're going to be in the conversation no matter what. It doesn't matter what the year, who's doing what across the country, and it obviously doesn't guarantee that you'll get in, but, like, to remove a one-loss Power 5 team from the conversation just doesn't make any, like, mathematical sense to me. And, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle. I mean, I think if they were to release the rankings today, you know, they wouldn't be knocking on the door to get in.
Sure.
But, you know, there's still so many games that are yet to be played. And, you know, if Georgia loses to South Carolina, like, we have to allow for a number of other possible upsets to still happen the rest of the way.
Yeah. Kyle Bonagura, ESPN, is our guest. He's on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN. I'm curious, Kyle, I know you travel around a little bit, so you may not be at headquarters very much, but from your colleagues, whether at ESPN or just in the media in general, when you guys talk college football at these games during TV timeouts and give differing opinions and views, how often do you maybe cape up for the Pac-12? And the reason I ask this, I saw an article this morning that it was time on Iowa, and it said, yo, Iowa's lost back-to-back weeks, but they're still in the top 25. And I thought, A&M also lost back-to-back weeks. They were still in the top 25. Cal lost one game. They were bumped from 15 all the way out. I know it gets tiring. I understand it, but it does feel like when you see things like that, that there's not a slight, but we'll push the Pac-12 to the side type respect for certain teams that pop in and out of the rankings.
Yeah, there's certainly Pac-12 teams are punished in ways that teams in other markets are not. I think that's pretty clear. Anyone who follows this, even on a cursory level, probably understands that. And, you know, there's reason in the fact that, you know, I don't watch a lot of baseball because I have better things to do at 9 a.m. on a Saturday. You know? And, like, you can say the same thing about people on the East Coast, too. Like, if it's 10 o'clock on a Saturday night and you spend all day watching college football, like, are you really going to watch Washington versus Arizona State? Like, probably not, right? And so I think there's a lot of that factors into it. If, like, you're naturally going to be more supportive of the things you're familiar with, and just the fact that where the population centers are in the country, like there's just way more people on the East Coast. I think that certainly factors into it. And so a lot of those are just kind of problems that the Pac-12 is just going to always be forced to deal with. I think the main issue that the Pac-12 has faced really is just without having a real top level team that is consistently competing at the highest level in the sport, it's hard to it's hard to kind of validate the rest of the conference, mm-hmm. right? And I think mm-hmm. this year is a pretty good example of how the Pac-12, top to bottom, you know, if you took like were to assign like an average value of a team, I'm just making up metrics here on the spot for you guys. If you were to take like an average value of a team in the Pac-12, it would be significantly higher than the ACC. It would be higher probably than the Big 12. I think the Big 10 is probably a better overall conference, but I think at the bottom of the Big 10, those teams are worse. Like Oregon State would beat Rutgers. Like I'm very confident that Oregon State is a better team than Rutgers, and you know would win a few games in the ACC. So it's just like, what's your preference, right? The Pac-12 is week in, week out, so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you can have teams at the bottom of the conference competing with teams at the top of the conference, you know, you can make fun of parity all you want, but like it certainly makes the games on an individual week-to-week basis a lot of fun.
It's always interesting to me, that viewpoint. By the way, very quick, would UCLA beat Rutgers?
Well, see, I don't know if we want to really push it that far.
Yeah, I mean, got to draw the line somewhere.
You know, but I think you're hitting on something that's very valid. And I think I've always viewed it that way. I'm a bit of a Pac-12 honk because I grew up here. So obviously I have a bias, but it is interesting. Like you mentioned, they get punished for things other teams and programs and conferences don't. And I think you're 1,000% right. Like you take the parity thing, right? You take a team that's seventh in the conference. Maybe they upset an Oregon or a Washington or a Utah or whoever. USC, Utah, right? They have that upset. And people just scoff at it and they go, oh, look at the Pac-12 tripping over themselves. It's embarrassing. And then those same people wake up every Sunday morning and they go, oh, I love the NFL. You never know who's going to win. It's a very interesting approach to me.
Everyone is always going to look at, you're going to frame things from their own personal interests, right? You're going to frame things that are going to make your team or your conference look better. And that goes for, you know, us guys who pay more attention to Pac-12 football, right? I think our opinion on how we look at it is skewed because we're so invested in what's going on here. So it's like not really different. It's like easy to get like upset about like the like maybe the inequality of how things are viewed, but like, you know, it is becoming a little bit tired just because like in like while we're talking about some of these you know just weird mechanisms in college football, like we could be like, you can have a lot of fun talking about, you know, games that are going to be entertaining week in, week out. So it's like, it's just kind of life in the Pac-12. And so you kind of have to accept it because there's no obvious way to change it. So I don't know. It's interesting to discuss for sure.
Yeah. I think the only way to change it is a national championship. I've said this year, though, I do enjoy having a conference where you genuinely don't know what's going to happen in week in and week out. And that makes fun. That makes for great entertainment. I've loved it this year. The looking at a game where I'm not quite sure where Vegas is on this one, and I don't know how into gambling you are, but Penn State in Michigan is like the big game of the week. ABC, you know, Beaver Stadium, I'm sure going to have that whiteout. Penn State is nearly a double-digit favorite in Vegas. Where are you leaning on this one, and how do you feel about that? Is Penn State still undefeated and not quite getting the same recognition as some of the other undefeated teams?
Yeah, I haven't watched Michigan this year, so, like, to have any, like, real perspective with, you know, I'm kind of just guessing here, but, like, I've liked what I've seen from Penn State. I think double digits is a big spread. I don't know if I would be willing to put down money on Penn State if I was a gambling man, which I am not, but I have liked what I've seen from Penn State in a few opportunities I've had to see them. But, like, that's another thing, right? If Penn State loses, you know, they won't get punished, and Michigan will get rewarded. That's kind of how it works. Right?
Yeah. Now Kyle Bonagura is our guest. He's on Twitter at Bonagura ESPN, covering college football at large. Who are your top four teams today? Who would be in the playoff if Kyle Bonagura had all the power and the season ended?
Yeah, so it would be solid, like you can argue about like how you would sort them, but I'm very much a conference should not get multiple teams. So as good as LSU is, like if you don't win the conference and there are three other real capable options from other conferences. I just don't see the point in that. So, like, that just to understand that going in. So I would go Alabama from the SEC. I would go Clemson, and then I would go Ohio State and Oklahoma would be the four teams that I would have in right now. And I've had that for a few weeks right now. I think that, you know, LSU has certainly done a lot of – it has been impressive, and they, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up in there. But I have a lot of trust in the coaching staff of those teams that I mentioned, and, you know, that really matters. And more in football than any other sport, right? The fact that those guys, for the most part – you know, Ryan Day is new at Ohio State, but I've seen it next to be pretty impressive with him. But so that's where I'm at with the four, and that's where I do the bold projections at ESPN, and that's where I've settled on some order of those four teams for the last few weeks.
All right, there we go. You can find those bold projections. ESPN.com is where you can find his work. Kyle Bonagura on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN, covering college football. Who would your Heisman be, very quickly?
Oh, very quickly. If you're going to say very quickly, Jalen Hurts probably didn't play as well against Texas, but it's obviously the Oklahoma quarterback thing is probably a little bit tired, but on the spot, I'll go there for now.
All right, there we go. Kyle Bonagura. Kyle, thanks so much for hopping on yet again. Double duty here on 1080 The Fan. Doesn't happen very often, but thank you so much for joining both Dusty and Cam in our show.
It's a big week for Oregon football, so happy to be here.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.